as we begin to look at this wonderful Psalm 8. My mind is drawn to the fact that as children of God, believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have tasted God's grace, those who are reconciled to God in his Son, those who are at peace with the Almighty, as was prayed, we go through in our flesh many trials, many hardships, and spiritually we are tried on every side. And yet, unlike those in the world who go through the physical trials and tribulations, the same ones as us, we can, as Job, and pray God that I will be able to be as Job. Job, when he lost everything, what was the first thing he did? We're told he worshipped. He worshipped. And we can do that, can't we? We can do that. Despite whatever else is going on around us, what seems to be falling apart around us, ourselves falling apart, yet we know him who sits in the heavens. And as the psalmist says here in the opening line, O Lord, our Lord. And as an individual child of God, you can say, O Lord, my God. The title of the message this evening is this, as we look briefly at the first line of this psalm, the gracious ruler who is Saviour. The gracious ruler who is Saviour. Because my Lord Jesus, my Saviour, he's the very one who upholds all things by the word of his power. All things were made by him, and they were all made for him. And nothing that was made without him. He's my Creator. And he is the one who sustains not only me, not only you who know him, he sustains every minute molecule and atom, and I'm no scientist, so I don't know what they're called, but everything in this universe. Not one star stops shining without his say-so. Because you see, it was nothing to him. Him who created everything. He made the stars also. Don't you just love that verse? Such a matter-of-fact verse in Genesis 1. He made the stars also. Because this is God Almighty. Nothing is beyond him. And so therefore nothing is beyond him in saving his people and giving life to dead sinners who are the objects of his grace and mercy. But in this life, in this world in which we live, how people, you come across it, and we may do it at times, how people love to name drop. Name drop. I remember going to a guy who used to come here and speak sometimes. We went round his house, me and Alison, I think, when we were just engaged. Might come to your remembrance in a minute what this story's about. Anyway, they prided themselves. They wanted to tell us about this seat that I was sitting on. And he said to me, do you know what seat you're sitting on? You're remembering it now. Cliff Richard sat on that seat. And I think I didn't really look as overwhelmed and overjoyed as they expected me to be. But they obviously, that was their party piece. They needed to tell everyone who came to their place. Cliff Richard sat in that seat. So I've sat in the same seat that Cliff Richard sat in, by the way. So I'm going to name drop. People do love to name drop, though, don't they? They've rubbed shoulders with such and such. They've met such and such. They've done such and such with such and such. They know someone who knows someone who knows someone. Your Curtis comes to mind a few years ago. He said to me at a youth club years ago, he says, my granddad knows Ian Wright's granddad. Well, it doesn't mean you know Ian Wright. But people love to name drop, don't we? We all do it. We all do it. Those who know the Saviour God, though. Those who know the Saviour God. We were looking at this last week. Those who know the Saviour God. The Lord. Oh, by the way, anyone listening in America, Ian Wright's what you call a soccer player. Not everyone knows who Ian Wright is, do they? They should do, shouldn't they? But anyway, those who know the Saviour God, the Lord Jesus Christ, have much, much more of which to boast of. We've got the greatest boasting to make. Who will you name drop of? The Apostle Paul said, I will boast in none other save in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, let's boast in Jesus. Let's boast in our Lord Jesus. We pray that the Lord will give us boldness. Because we have a spirit of timidity at times, don't we? All of us. May the Lord fill us with that boldness to boast of his name. I was hearing someone talking about witnessing to those who are of the Islamic faith, and they say, well, there's so many people with these philosophies about how you're to witness to them. And this bloke said, well, you're not going to get any conversation with such people who need to hear the gospel, who need to know the Lord Jesus, unless you say who your Saviour is. Because there's no one else like Jesus. And no matter who we witness to, there is no one else like the Lord Jesus, is there? The Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he is God the Son. And our God is one God. We don't believe three gods, but yet nonetheless, we do believe our Lord Jesus is our God. And we don't hide behind excuses and tiptoeing around, because unless people believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, they will not know this eternal life. That's what John says. He wrote those words, and he says at the end of his gospel, I have written these things that you may know that he's the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing on him, you may have eternal life. So, may the Lord give us, yes, this boldness to boast in Jesus and boast in nothing else. Firstly, as we look at these words, these four simple words in the opening line of verse 1 of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord. O Lord, our Lord. I was actually so excited when I looked at these words earlier in the week. When I looked and delved deeper into them, I just want to tell someone. You probably know these things, but remind you of these things, these wondrous things. Firstly, the God we serve is the only ruler. He's the only ruler. He's the sovereign God. I believe a sister said that earlier. Her last words leaving the building we serve as a sovereign God. We serve a sovereign Saviour. We see again an example of two great names here. As we looked last time at the final words of Psalm 7, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. The Lord, Jehovah, who is indeed the Most High. And tonight we see two distinct words, two distinct names of God, which speak of his great glory. He reveals himself by these names in the scriptures. The psalmist saying, O Lord, our Lord. And notice in your Bibles, O Lord, capital letters, Jehovah. Our Lord, capital L, but not capitals all the way through. Distinctly printed that way to differentiate the two words, the two names. Not saying that the other name is of less importance, is to distinguish the two. Though both names are translated Lord, they are different in their revelation of who God is. Because our great God is so great, no wonder he must reveal himself by so many names to declare his great attributes of who he is, of what he does, of how he works. Now we know that the Lord, capitals all the way through, is the name of God as the self-sufficient Jehovah, the great I Am. The one who exists of himself, needs none other. The God who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3. I am that I am. But what of the word translated Lord also here? It is the Hebrew name for God to reveal this other particular aspect of his being, namely his sovereignty. The Lord, the self-sufficient one, Jehovah God, great I Am, is the sovereign God. O Lord, our sovereign Lord. Our ruling Lord. Lord here from the name Adonai. Adonai. Shortened to Don in other languages, in Latin languages. It means God Almighty, quite literally, is the owner of all things. He's the owner of all things. He is the master of all and therefore the controller of everything. You see, where people do not grasp and understand that God, the Creator God, is indeed the owner, the possessor, the controller of everything of his creation, they will never grasp, nor accept, nor bow to his sovereignty and his sovereign will. But this is who our God is. Secondly, O Lord, our Lord. Here is the great statement of faith which all who trust Christ Jesus for salvation, who know God, must surely hold to. You have to hold to it. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who comes to faith knows everything of theological terminology or even believes all doctrinal matters in coming to faith. That would be foolishness to say that everyone must know the ABC of doctrinal matters in coming to faith. But those who are born of God, those who are taught of God, those who receive the word of God, or rather those who have the Spirit of God, receive the word of God. And so when they are confronted with such teachings, they receive gladly these teachings because they are the word of God. This is the teaching of God, of who he is, him whom they know. It is to be declared, this truth. O Lord, our sovereign Lord. It is to be declared among the people of God in all the proclaiming and preaching of his word. It must be proclaimed all the time. It's been said rightly, I'm going to name drop, it's been said rightly by Pastor John Graham, but I say seriously, it's been said quite rightly. He said, I recommend only two books, the Bible and A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God. And of course, we mean the first version, the Baker House translation, published one, not the Banner of Truth one where they've left bits out. But that simple book, get yourself a copy of it. This simple man can read it, so you'll be able to read it. It's such a wonderful read. You'll read it again and again and again. Showing from the scriptures how God is sovereign in everything, and how this teaching must never be forgotten, and must in many cases be recovered in the church. It's the backbone of everything. Certainly one who worships the only true God through Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, must acknowledge and declare, as Psalm 93 says, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Not the Lord wants to reign. Not the Lord must reign. The Lord reigns. As those wise men, so wise, we read in Matthew 2, they came from the east and they were led of God to say, as they went to Jerusalem and they went to Herod and they said, where is he? They didn't say, where is he who wants to rule a kingdom? They didn't say, where is he who wants to come into the hearts of people if only they will let him in? They said, where is he who is born king of the Jews? He's king already. And the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. That is the proclamation of the gospel. That is the message. Isaiah 52 verse 8. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice with the voice. Together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Who are the watchmen? The watchman here spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, the watchman is talking of the preachers of the word of God. The proclaimers of God's message. They are the watchmen set there to watch over God's heritage, as we looked this morning. the preachers of the word of God, and Zion speaking of the congregation of the church, the called out ones, throughout the whole world. What do they agree on? What do they agree on? For we read here, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. What do they agree on? What is the Lord saying here through the prophet that the watchmen, the preachers of the word, agree on? Or should be agreeing on? We'll see in verse 7 of that portion, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And so every preacher of the gospel must agree on this. Must agree on this. There may be variations on other matters, although I don't believe in secondary issues, but that's another issue. But they may have differences of opinion on certain things, but this is not up for discussion. This is not up for debate. They agree on this. The Lord reigns. He's sovereign. He's the Lord, our Lord. He's the Lord, sovereign Lord, who owns, rules, and directs all things. Thirdly, the great sovereign rule of God is to be declared. It's to be declared, sounded forth in all the world, among all nations. I know we believe, yes, the Lord is sovereign over all that is coming to pass. But in this context, as many churches have gone outside of the revealed will of God, and they are not proclaiming the word according to his prescribed command, and they're leaving bits out, and they're adding to it, and little wonder the world is not listening. Because, you see, there is no God to answer to. He doesn't rule. He doesn't rule. If God doesn't rule, the rest of the gospel means nothing. Psalm 96:10 says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Oh, what an indictment. What an indictment. I may have told you this before, but many's a time, even today maybe, I think he said it as well. My own father, an unbeliever, unregenerate, when you mention many things coming to pass, he says, indeed, God Almighty brings it all to pass. I talk to some Christians, they don't believe in a sovereign God. And they profess to know God. What an indictment. Just checking the ceiling's not falling in on me here. We are getting a bit of a leak here, actually. But the Lord rules. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. For the message of the gospel has no effect where God is not proclaimed as the sovereign ruler and master of all. Because where he is not proclaimed as the sovereign ruler, no one considers that he is, as his word says, the God with whom we all have to do. They say, I will take my chances. I will take my chances that God just may not exist. 1 Chronicles 16 tells us these words. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. That means all peoples. We don't hide anything from anyone. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. That is the gospel. We sound forth his marvellous works in the salvation of his people. Romans 1:1 at the very outset tells us that the gospel is according to God. It's according to God, not man. It's according to God, of his reigning will and purpose. It is the gospel of God, Romans 1:1 says. It comes from him. It's for his good purpose, for his good will. It's the praise of the glory of his grace. And is it according to his purpose that he purposed in himself? Ephesians 3:11 speaks of the gospel and the coming to know Christ Jesus, his Son, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's sovereign in salvation. Lastly, the Lord who is our Lord. The Lord who is our Lord. The Supreme One. Ruling over each and every one. As Daniel 4:35 says, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This one rules in the salvation of his people. His rule is absolute. His rule is absolute to who he gives this salvation. By his grace and mercy. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And whom he willeth, he hardeneth. I don't hear that very often. Anyone who suggests this great God is not absolutely sovereign as far as salvation be concerned is not and cannot be agreeing with his word, saying, O Lord, our Lord. Just cannot. They need to change their Bible. They cannot agree with those words. They're not amening to those words as we prayed earlier. It is as simple as that. It is as simple as that, brothers and sisters. God is either Lord, sovereign, God ruling all, including the salvation of his people, as to who receives and does not receive it, for he is not God at all. If God needs you for anything, just one thing, just one little thing, if God needs you, he is not God. Find another God. If God needs anyone, he is not God. You are God. And that is what man has done. That's what fallen man has done. We make gods in our own image. Man has made gods in their own image, and the teachings about who they imagine God to be, even in the changing of the gospel, they've changed God to be according to their own image. Therefore they be master and Lord of salvation. They're God. If God needs you for anything, he cannot be God. It's impossible. The truth is, God does not need you. He does not need me. But he delights, as his people, to use us. He privileges us to be instruments in his hands. And he has revealed himself to us in the person of his Son. He didn't need to. But we needed to know him. O Lord, our Lord. We praise God that indeed, in the midst of everything that's going on, personally, collectively, and in this world in general, he is directing it all. He's directing it all. Not from some puny little director's chair like they see in Hollywood. He's seated on his throne. And he's always been there. He's never been moved from it. And the one who has bought us, purchased us at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he never left. He never left that rule. Do not be duped into thinking that he emptied himself of all but love. Our Lord Jesus reigns and has always reigned and continues to reign. And we rejoice in that, because that is all our hope. And so let us proclaim with boasting, yes, who Jesus Christ the Lord is. He's the sovereign. He's the ruler. And he owns every soul. But we know that he owns specially those who he has redeemed at the cross. And let's seek that God would use us as we proclaim his name, that he would build his church, because we know the gates of hell are crumbling fast at his name.